Welcome everyone to episode 3 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. I finally decided on a name for it. I named it as I did that last week. Joined this week by Tour Alaska's very own Jerry Norman.
Hello, Sometimes Friend Darren Matthews.
Thanks very much. Jerry, can I say Tour Alaska's Jerry Norman if you are Tour Alaska?
No, I actually answered this in another interview. It is a band name. And it's a band name for a reason. It's because it will grow.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And at the minute, it's very much a solo thing, and a lot of songs just me and a guitar. But I didn't want to just call it Jerry Norman because I knew the next record will have loads of guests.
Okay.
And it will be more band. Yes, but yeah, I just wanted a band name. I just did. Yeah.
I think it's fine.
I thought it was a bit selfish because I would love to eventually collaborate with even other songwriters. So it's not just going to be me writing all the songs.
So are we talking in the vein of not before collaboration, like City and Colour, that kind of thing, where there is a person who does it, but yeah, there's room for growth?
100%. I'm the main person because I have a lot of drive and a work ethic when it comes to music. So I'll be probably always the guy pulling all the strings. But so Ciara O'Neill, she did a gig with me. She's just amazing. But the harmonies that I've done on the record are like not in her range. Right, so Steve McCartney is going to come along and do that, but I really want to start writing a song when Ciara in her more comfortable range, because her voice is amazing. So that's an example of how it's kind of going to kind of grow over the years. But I didn't feel comfortable calling it Jerry Norman.
Okay, so we have the name explained. That's a good basis on the start for the interview. So Tour Alaska is a band name which allows room for growth, I suppose.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well let's start from the start. We've got the explanation for the band name. If it's Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, let's tell about how you know me.
Okay.
Or how I know you.
Okay.
We take you back, children, to probably before some of you were born.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So do I tell the story?
You can tell the story, and then I'll jump in when you're lying.
Well, I moved to Belfast to start a band called The Plastic Rose.
Mm-hmm.
With a man called Ian McHugh, and I got a job in Stranmillis in a pizza place, which has very strong connections with Newry. Now, I don't want to give the pizza place name. I don't want to give them free advertising, but it was a pizza place.
They're closed. It doesn't matter.
Really?
Not in Newry, just in Stranmillis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Close to ages ago. And I happened to work with a very good friend of yours at the time.
Yes.
And you were going out, and you were promoting gigs in Warren Point.
And Newry.
I gave her my EP, and we got on very well. We're still friends to this day, which is incredible. And she was like, oh, my boyfriend puts on the most amazing gigs in the INF and like all these places in Warren Point. And I was like, oh, get us down. And you got us down. And that was the start of, how long have we gone down to Warren Point playing gigs? 5 years, probably?
Probably more.
Yeah.
So I started running shows when I was 17.
It was literally the best place to go in the north of Ireland for gigs.
Sweet. Thanks very much.
Oh, man. At that time, we used to think going to Warren Point was a tour. So remember, we used to have parties in the van.
Yes.
We used to park up and sleep in the car park, thinking, how far away is it? 40 minutes?
40 minutes.
We used to think that was like a far enough way to kind of stay the night and have drinks. And
I think that's amazing that you consider that a tour, whereas when I was like living in Aussie and doing gigs, 3 hours to drive and then drive home was completely normal.
Since then, I've toured all over Europe a few times.
Exactly.
And I know what a tour is now. But at the time, we were like, holy shit. Well, I think it's just because me and Ian didn't want to drive back because we wanted to get shit-faced after.
Yeah, that's true as well. And the alcohol was plentiful in the
line. The boys never drove, so we were just like, fuck that, man. Let's just get shit-faced and sleep in the van.
I think it was pretty cool because you guys were one of the first bands that I knew who had a van.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time, my inspiration in music was always like those American punk bands who just jump in a van and tour the whole country.
Morrison.
So when you guys were like, we have a van, I was like, oh, cool.
That was that was a hand-me-down from Dad.
Okay.
So he delivers stuff and he was getting rid of the van. And I don't think it was really worth that for him if he was going to sell it. So he just like, look, son, I'll just give you this van because you're in a band, you need a van and you need to get driving. I couldn't drive at the time. So he passed down this van to me and I started doing lessons. I literally got my lesson first time because I was like, oh, I need to pass this test. I need to bring the boys on tour. And then that van was very good to us. Unfortunately, poor old Van Morrison went for a service on the Boucher Road.
Right.
One time, and he was caught lit on fire.
Really?
A green Southern Reg van parked on the street, and probably the wrong street. That's only my assumption. But if the boys were looking for a van to light.
See, this sounds like an alibi for an insurance job.
Do you know what? It was not worth it. We didn't tell the insurance company. We sold it for parts. I think we got like £200, and we were happy enough with that. Because if we told the insurance company, they would have bloody killed us.
Yeah. And by the way, it got set on fire.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. So poor old Van Morrison. It was because do you know what? We did the Kids Don't Behave Like This video, and there was a band called the 1970s. Now this is before the 1975 were a band, but remember, I think there was a band called the 1970s.
Right.
And they gave Van Morrison a kiss in the video, and you see it now, and that was the kiss of death. They did it.
Oh, bastards.
They fucking did. They became another band after that, actually. I can't remember. But yeah, we look back at that video and we're like, oh, the kid. Or was it them? No, sorry. Ian gave the band the kiss of death. The boys were playing drums on the van. Sorry, I'm getting the stories mixed up. But right. Yeah,
Ian gave the band the kiss of death.
Ian gave the van a kiss. And now we look back at that, and it was his goodbye to the van.
Oh, okay. At least it's been documented, like these lovely podcasts we're doing. Jesus. So that wasn't your first band, was it? Haiku Thieves.
Me and Ian were in a band in Sligo called Haiku Thieves. Now this tells you a lot about my personality. The name of the band just was designed to piss people off.
Okay.
So I spelt haiku wrong, and I spelt it wasn't thieves. It was thieves.
Haiku Thieves.
Haiku Thieves. So it's HYKOO. And people were like, why'd you do that? And I was just like, man, I don't know, I just want to piss people off. And we were more of a Frame the Frames kind of,
yeah,
Jeff Buckley. Like, I mean, when we did A Yard of Blonde Girls, that was our cool cover. That's a Jeff Buckley song. We thought we were really cool, and we supported Turn, who we loved, and The Revs.
Oh, no way.
Swear to God, in Ballyshannon, bro, supporting The Revs. And we tell people at our last gig together they were supporting Turn because it was amazing, but actually,
okay.
But I used to love The Revs, man. I saw The Revs playing in Dublin Castle with Muse and The Hives. Were you at that?
No. Wire to the Moon was their big single, wasn't it?
Wire to the fucking
That's
Moon.
A great
yeah.
tune, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, man.
A good big bit of pop. Yeah. If you like stuff like Feeder, that sort of late 90s, exactly. Early 2000s.
Well, when I was young and impressionable, I was just like, oh my God, this is Ireland's Green Day. So we got super excited about The Revs. And I actually have a funny story. They played Sligo, and it was kind of on their kind of... They got really, really popular all over the country, but then it just didn't work out for them, and they were playing this shitty old pub in Sligo. And I had heard that Rory Gallagher featured on one of their songs. So I went up to the drummer and I was like, man, what's the story of Rory Gallagher being on your songs? Like, did you use one of his guitar tracks or something? He goes, nah, bro, my name's Rory Gallagher.
Oh, no. I should point out, if they're from Donegal, at least one of them is called Gallagher.
Oh, Rory Gallagher, yeah. So, yeah. So, technically, we supported Rory Gallagher in Ballyshannon.
Okay. I mean, there's a statue of the man, so you can...
Well, different Rory Gallagher.
I know, but we'll edit that bit out, where you... We'll just say you supported... I was going to say that's amazing, because he died in 1995.
But, yeah, Haiku Thieves, and then Ian went to... I moved to Edinburgh, Ian moved to Belfast, and we said that if the timing was ever right, we'd start a serious band, which is why I'm sitting here right now.
And you've been stuck in Belfast ever since?
Man, I love Belfast. I absolutely love Belfast.
Cool, so, which is why you live in Bangor now.
Shh. I live in Bangor.
I didn't give your address. So
I have recently, but we're in Belfast right now. We're in the thick of it. Yeah. And I'm in Belfast every single day. But yeah, recently we bought a house in Bangor, but it wasn't supposed to be. I mean, we were looking at houses in Glengormley and Laysborough, everywhere, and then just the right one popped up. But you know what? I fucking love Bangor. It's amazing.
That's not too bad. I've been looking to buy a house, and then I absolutely panicked whenever I'm just going to wait and see what happens with Brexit in case I spend 150 grand on a house, which is then worth 50 quid next
week.
Yeah,
my parents kind of were giving us that warning as well, and we were like, do you know what? Whatever happens, happens. We have to do it. We got a good deal, and we were living beside fucking drug leader party like crazy person in on the Lisburn Road who just partied every single night till 9 o'clock in the morning, and we were just like, yeah, no. We were like, look, we don't want to rent again, so we just bought
and fair play to them if they can just keep that going to 9 in the morning, because I definitely wouldn't be able to. So that's a couple of old stories for you. So yes, I know Jerry from Plastic Rose. I played two gigs with you guys. I learned I learned some songs off an EP. And I was like, I've learned the four songs, and you're like, sweet, we've got a seven song set.
My Avalanche, I think, I'm pretty sure My Avalanche was, that was...
Indian Sheets. Was
Indian also. Sheets.
Yeah.
My Avalanche. My Avalanche.
Yeah, that was a big one. I was like, finally.
Jeez, why what?
And I remember just thinking, do you mind if I speed a few of these up, because I don't know how to play slowly.
Yeah, I do. You punked up Indian Sheets. Well,
I didn't mean to.
And it's in 6/8 as well, which is not really designed for a punk.
No, it's not.
So you're... We always tell people that, like, a Plastic Rose have had nearly 20 members, and so you're one of them.
Sweet.
So I'm expecting one of these tattoos to be a rose pretty soon, because once a rose, always a rose.
I know, but I feel like sticking a rose on myself is a wee bit English about the whole deal.
Oh, you're gone political.
No, geographical mostly. Symbolism.
I see the rose as symbol as my band, not England.
I know, but I don't want to have to explain that to people while I'm standing in an Irish rugby jersey.
All right, just don't get a tattoo.
Fine. I already have enough tattoos. This is enough.
Well, you've joined. You're in an elite club. Every member of General Fasco was in the Plastic Rose. Ed Sheeran's Bowron player was our first drummer.
Eamon
Huggy Murray.
I remember Huggy. I've met him.
Yes, he's gone on to pretty good things since I've seen him last.
Is he in Bioga? Is that what you call it?
Bioga, yeah. They joined them on, like, the main stage headlining Glastonbury, like.
Oh, isn't it class when you know all these people and they've just done so much more than you?
It's just so good. And then you go onto their PRS website, because if you're a member of PRS, it's a royalty collector, you can go and see who gets percentage of every song ever written. You have that right as a member.
Ooh.
And there you go, yeah. There's Eamon getting his little percentage of... do you know what?
Is this every time Galway Girl goes on the radio?
Every time Galway gets on the radio, he gets a percentage. And I tell you what, a small percentage of Galway Girl is a lot more than 100% of of the songs that I've released over the years.
Oh man. So obviously, being Irish and begrudging bastards, fuck them. Fucked a lot of them and their success and their continued success.
No, absolutely not. Do you know what? I actually had this discussion today with someone. I love seeing people do well. People think I lie. I love it because music isn't like that. It's you know what I mean. It's not like you work your way up the ladder, you get a promotion. Music's not like that. It's just you can only just concentrate on your own work, your own career, set your own goals, reach them. If someone else goes flying past you, good for them.
Agreed.
There's absolutely no point in being like, oh bastards, because it's not going to help you. Like, it's not going to do any good for you at all.
What about a support slot?
I mean, we've been all right. It's the biggest band in the world. Yeah, it was a sports lot. Well, Biffy and Snow Patrol, and I mean, that's all right. You can't really ask too much. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, these things might only happen to you once in your life, and you have to accept that, and that's okay. I'm okay. If we never get another big support ever again, I'll go, that's fine.
Pretty grand. Still played that one gig, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, I think it's important to set your own goals, and whatever happens is a bonus. So keep on. So if you have, if you've got an album to work on, that's, you can control that. Do the album the best you can. Do a big gig. Other than that, it's everything's out of your control. Don't worry about it. If someone does well, be delighted for them.
Which leads me on to my next question. Let's talk about your album, because this week you just released the final track.
Yes.
You have slow released an album.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from, or?
Do you know what it is? People are very intrigued about this, which is great, because I guess it works.
It's a talking point. It's great.
It's a talking point, yeah. So some people agree, some people disagree, and I'm like, well, there's no right or wrong way to release your music into this world, especially
in the modern business model.
And so I funded this out myself. I had complete control over what I wanted to do, and I just saw a pattern of people releasing albums and working their socks off for, I mean, you know, a long time, spending a lot of money on albums, and then they'd release one single and release the album, and then you wouldn't hear anything about it. And I'm kind of thinking, did people just listen to the single and then not listen to the rest of the album? You know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, I could be absolutely wrong, but I thought, right, okay, I'm doing all of this on a budget, right? Because I'm paying for it myself. And a guy I know does music videos, and he was starting off. And when I had a chat with him, we kind of came to a financial agreement to do a video for every song. Now, not big budget, but I just thought, this day and age, it's important to have music videos. And so you can literally go onto YouTube now and watch the album start to finish.
Cool.
So there's a video for every single song. So it was a very long term plan, but it was all based on where we are right now. All the songs are on Spotify. Every song has had its own little moment in the spotlight. So people who have followed the journey can go onto Spotify and like already know all the songs. And that's literally all I wanted to do.
Do you think it's given you a bit of breathing room so people can digest it a song at a time?
That's it.
And then you're like, oh, here's the ones I like, and this is it in long form.
Do you know what I thought was the funniest thing? It's like people would say, God, you're releasing so much music. And I'm like, yeah, but most people release 10 songs in one day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm releasing one every 2 weeks. Actually, there was a couple of songs that I think were, I had a month, you know, like July is a funny month around here and stuff like that. So it took ages, and I'm just kind of like, how is that? That's not a lot of music. That's just drip feeding. And again, it is a talk. Like, loads of people are talking to me about it, and some people go, fair play, that was a great idea. Some people go, I don't know if that was a good idea. And I'm just like, yeah, but like, it's people are talking to me. Yeah, this is amazing.
there's no such thing as bad press. If people are talking about it, they're interested in it, they might go check it out more so than, oh, have you seen what he's doing with this? And yeah, I think it's a good idea.
I think it's cool, because you know what? Especially the YouTube thing, I'm really happy with that. And obviously the YouTube numbers are low, because, you know, I didn't pay for PR. I didn't give this a big push. I was hoping that, you know, I'm still just hoping that local media just kind of help out. I'm not going paying for it. Like, I'm doing this on myself. I'm not paying 500 quid a month for PR. I'm just not doing it. And the thing is, it's like, and if people want to help out, they catch on and they write something about it, then that's great. And I've just done a podcast with you now. I've just done an interview with The Big List, and hopefully before the album comes out, it'll drum up a bit more interest.
Well, my contribution is I invited everyone on my friends list to like your page.
Hey, thank you very much.
So people in Canada and Australia, yes, were like, is this your new improv group? I'm like, I don't do improv, it's a band. Click into it. It's my friend's music, it's lovely.
Well, there you go. Look, do you know, there's no right or wrong way to release music, but I'm always trying to do different things. I'm always just trying to do something a little bit different. Why not? Like,
see, I think the other main point is, in the modern day, with the internet and with so much ability to self-release, you don't need a record label anymore. People are releasing their own stuff. Your money's to be made in the live arena. Yep. Look at guys like Jerry Cinnamon.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah.
I think that's a good, you know, like that, either
the king.
The YouTube star or the Spotify, or just,
yeah,
dogging it out and playing live all the time.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways of doing it, and you just have to catch attention. Frank Turner playing hundreds of shows every year.
Yeah. People, yeah, well, see, this is the thing when it came to Tour Alaska. Actually, sorry, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I, with Tour Alaska, I was never going to do the touring constantly thing.
Yeah.
Number one, I just can't possibly do it right now. I didn't want to. Do you know, I just didn't want to, and I wanted to put more time into doing these, because then, you know, nobody knows what Tour Alaska is. If I did a load of tours, nobody would come. Whereas, at least if I'm in control of the video side of thing and the Spotify and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's fine. I'm reaching my goals. If I went on tour every weekend for the whole year, I'd be coming home just miserable thinking there was two people there.
I think it's different from, as I said, with the modern, I mean, guys like Hosier releasing videos on YouTube, and there is that chance you just picked up and run with it, or there's guys who you probably never heard of who are making a living off music.
Exactly.
You know, I find lots of parallels coming from being a musician, well, drummer anyway, to doing comedy. There's so many more parallels. If you can keep generating content and keep yourself in the public sphere,
yeah,
where you're there and people go, oh yeah, that guy, they'll come back and see it.
And you kind of have to just keep on at it, like, because eventually, someday, I will go and see you perform.
Have you still never seen me perform?
Just on YouTube and Facebook and stuff.
It's grand. I mean, I've only been doing it for 10 years. It's fine.
You're always going to be Darren Matthews' promoter.
Yeah, true. Well,
in my eyes.
I know. Sometimes maybe I think that, drummer, you know, you should stick to what you're good at. So maybe not being on the stage is where my
thing is. I think you
did
gigs in Singapore and Australia. I think you're not doing too bad.
Yeah, that was good crack. That was Paddy. That's what I did this year. Paddy's Day in Singapore.
Unbelievable.
And I met a guy. I was standing in the middle of the street in Singapore, and a guy came up and tapped me on. I could feel somebody. I had my local Gaelic club, like where I'm from, had the top on, and I felt somebody come up, and it says the name in Irish on the back, and I felt somebody actually like trace their finger along, like reading it. And then the guy was like, you from fucking Lusumen? And I turned around, it was a dude from like the village up the road from me. Fuck, he's been living in Singapore for like 6 years.
That's amazing.
And of course he knows my younger brother. So
oh jeez, it's a small world.
It's too small sometimes. But no. But an amazing thing to do. With the app, obviously, and the joke, I see you put up a lot on your Twitter feed and all that sort of stuff. Will you ever tour Alaska?
No.
I think you can do it. If you can get as far as like West Coast Canada, you can just drive up there.
It's funny. I mean, obviously people are going to, I mean, it's Tour Alaska. They're going to think that that's what I'm talking about or something, but the name means absolutely nothing. I just think it sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
And sometimes when it comes to, because a lot of my songs, I think the funny thing about it is that all the songs, every word in the entire album means some, it's a very personal record. Apart from the name. Name means nothing. I literally overheard something. And I says, what did you say there? And some blah, blah, blah. Like, Tour Alaska. That's a cool name for a band.
Fair enough.
Because I think in the creative world, especially when you're a lyricist, and you know, I like to write serious songs, but sometimes I just want to just like write some silly lyrics, just that, in a song, just because it's got. I remember I told the lads, I don't know why, but I want to put the word orchestra into a song. I don't know why, but I did it.
you want to write something that means nothing.
It didn't actually mean nothing, but I was just like, that's a cool word.
Okay.
Sometimes it's okay to just throw in a cool word in a song.
Right, well, I'm just saying, if you get a profile up and you do get that opportunity, Brian Cranley, who used to play in The Scream with me, he's in Vancouver.
I know Brian.
And he's still recording music and releasing stuff, and check him out as well.
I will.
Because his stuff's always good.
I've always been a big fan of him.
Yeah, Brian's West Coast Canada. I'm just saying, if you can get yourself over there.
West Coast, that's where, Vancouver's
he's
West.
In Vancouver.
Oh, right.
If you can get there, you can get a boat or something, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we don't need a boat, it's connected.
It is. But it sounds more fun if you can get a boat.
Just along the coast.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if the Alaskan tourist board and the Northern Irish tourist board want to get together and send someone from Sligo over to do a gig in Alaska and do a tour.
There's got to be some money involved in that somewhere.
That'd be hilarious.
If we ever get a government back again, get a grant in.
I mean, I'm up for it. Because isn't there like a Scandinavian band called Belfast?
Is there?
Yeah. And I think they've played Belfast one time. And because they're really good. They're actually really good. And so I think that was a big deal, like in all the media. It's like, Belfast, you're playing Belfast.
Oh my God.
So imagine going over to Alaska being like, there's a band called Tour Alaska, Tour Alaska.
Saying that, Boston are from Boston.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you know this? Right? Flo Rida.
I know what this is.
Is from Florida.
Yeah.
It's just Florida. Man, I just found that out 2 weeks ago. It blew my fucking brains. I couldn't believe it. It's like, that is... I didn't know whether it was good or bad, but I was like, that is amazing. It always reminds me of boys from Casper Rosa, because we did a tour, like a big tour around the UK. And, you know, the apple bottom jeans with the
yep
and the bird, that was our song. Like, we used to go to, because there'd be no one at the gigs, so we'd end up just like getting drunk and go to a club.
And that was in every club.
Dave Shannon like had this dance. And it was just like, oh man, it was amazing. Anyways, Florida, there you go.
Florida is Florida, if you didn't know. Google it. I mean, just Google it and put a space after the O and that's it. That you are easily amused, aren't you?
Oh man, hello.
Yeah, fair enough. That was just like, oh my goodness God. So if you're at the present, you're releasing your own music and you're not going to tour Florida.
Florida?
Well, you're not going to tour Alaska either.
I'm not going to tour Alaska or Florida, no.
They're very far apart,
I find. It's like, it's the whole Tour Alaska thing, it's light and breezy. Because I'm in a very, you know, I've been in a very serious band that has, it's a lot of work.
Agreed.
Right? It's a lot of work, and every decision has to go through a lot of people, and it's hard. Everything is difficult when you're in a big, like, rock band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not big successfully. Like, you know.
Yeah, when there's more than two
there's
people.
There's a team. Like, everything is difficult. And ambition has to be higher.
Yeah.
So I was asked the question lately, what are your ambitions for Tour Alaska? And I was like, I've done my ambition for Tour Alaska. I've released an album. That, and again, that's in my control. It's like, and I'm getting offered really lovely gigs. Like, I'm going back to Glasgowbury, playing a small but massive stage in Draperstown. Paddy Glasgow got in touch with me, and I'm just like, yes.
Is Glasgowbury coming back?
Well, it never left. It's just that it's a small little pub. That's how it started off.
Oh, and I know the original, but they're not, because I saw, no, I actually not, saw no. Paddy. I was performing at the Stendhal Festival this year,
right?
And I saw Paddy come through the gates. So I was like, oh, I really want to go talk to him, because I've never played Glasgowbury, but I was there as Fighting With Wires guitar technician.
Oh, brilliant! I must have. I think we played it 3 or 4 times or something.
Yeah.
No, well, this is the beauty about Tour Alaska, right? So at Plaster Groves for all these years, I've been banging doors, being like, we need to get ourselves out there, blah, blah, blah. We need to, you know, release stuff. We need to, like, because that was the ambition of the bands. And, but with Tour Alaska, it's literally Paddy's like, do you want to do a gig with Connor Mason in a lovely venue on a Sunday evening where people are going to listen and pay attention?
Sweet.
I'm just like, yes, sounds amazing. And, you know, there's other gigs that I've been offered over the summer, and I'm just like, no, it's not right. It's not right for Tour Alaska. It needs to be the right environment. You know, Darren Doherty's getting me down to Strab Band to do a gig in a theatre. There's talk of playing the Strand Cinema next year. You know, because I can just handpick and go, right, this is going to be special for me and the guy, whoever is available in the band at the time, and it's going to be special for the audience. And I can literally just pick the cool gigs that I want to do. I'm not even interested in making loads, like, making big fees around. No, edit that out.
It's fine, pay the man.
It's literally more about just, I want to create a good vibe, I want to be able to talk to the audience, have the crack. Yeah.
Okay, so in that context, is there an album release? Where's the big gig? There has to be something to recoup the expenses.
There is No, that's not going to happen. Okay. Let's be honest here. But luckily, I'm a self-employed musician, so it's all tax deductible.
Sweet.
I'm launching it in Voodoo on the 11th of October, right? And it's going to be amazing because
Voodoo's a cracker venue, by the way.
Yeah, Voodoo's a cracker venue, but it's way too big for what I wanted, right? But I was explained how they're going to change it because I do an open mic there every Thursday, so I'm buddies with all the guys who work there.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really, because of that, I'm really glad I'm doing the Voodoo, but I just didn't think it was the right venue. Sound is amazing. Andy's unbelievable. The room is great. The new stage is great. But it's just too big. It's an acoustic and internet thing. I didn't want it. So what they're doing is, they're doing it like a cabaret style. So they're bringing in loads of tables and chairs and candles, and they're going to change the whole. So it's going to make the whole room feel a lot more intimate.
Yeah.
And I've got King Cedar, who is Stephen McCartney, who is a very good friend of mine because he's a banger boy too. He's supporting, Kira O'Neill's supporting, Jordan Farndell is supporting, and they're all going to make up the full band.
Oh, nice.
That night. Now, you're going to love this bit. This is the reason why you might come. Ticket to the gig, get you entry to the emo rock club after. So we're going to go from Tour Alaska to My Chemical Romance.
Oh, not too bad. That's all right. So there you go. What was the date there?
11th of October. And it's an early show. And the doors are like 6:30 because all my friends are like old now. And if you need to get a train or a bus home or something, it's still going to be playing. I think it's all going to be over by 10 o'clock.
Fair enough.
Because
the club's going to kick off after. We've got to get the tables out.
Over the years where I've like been touring with like, you know, more kind of successful bands, you realise that like, all their gigs are finished by 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But there's this thing in Belfast over the years where like the headliner would be gone at 11:45 for some reason. So I wanted to just treat this like it was a normal gig from a normal band. Like gigs in the Odyssey are finished at 10:30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is all going to be done by 10:30. And I think Jordan would be going on about just after 7:00. He does all this kind of loop and stuff on his violin. He's amazing.
See, we do this thing with the comedy club in Newry where it's on a Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Doors 8 o'clock. Show 8:30, but the show is done by 10:30 on the basis that if you want to go out after,
yes,
the night is yours.
Exactly.
And if you want to go home and let the babysitter wait, you're home at 11 o'clock.
Yes. That's 100%.
But that took me a long time to learn that because when I was running gigs, I was the same. Headliner's 12 o'clock, played a quarter to one.
Warren Point was the same. Like, yeah. If you'd be getting off, like if you were a headliner, you'd be finishing at least 12:30.
Aye, but 12:45, because then you were in the pub, you could stay until 1 o'clock and then we'd sit on for
but
after.
In that case, it was different because that was the main bit of the night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was what all the kids were there for. And whereas with this now, I wanted people to be able to go for a drink after and have a fun night. So this is going to start their evening. And also there's one thing that I want to talk about that I think is really, really cool. So I couldn't afford vinyl because it's crazy expensive, right? I didn't want to get CDs because I just don't see the point in CDs anymore.
Who has a CD player?
Exactly, right? Couldn't even play it in the car, you know? And the fact that Right, so, but I did want something physical, and you know, again, I'm trying to do different things. Just so happens I'm married to an incredible artist, right? So the album will be coming out in the physical form of a hand screen printed poster designed by Frizz.
Cool.
So like, she's putting so much work into this, and it's going to be actually printed by a guy in here where we are in the vault. There's only going to be 30, they're extremely limited, and they're going to come with a download code for the album, but it's like it's a Tour Alaska poster.
Okay.
And yeah, but I mean, they're not going to be cheap, but there's only 30, so I mean,
that's great.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, if Frizz was going to be selling one of those alone, they'd be probably even more expensive, so she's cutting the price down.
She's doing you a favour. She's
doing me a favour. I mean, you know, she's the wife.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think that's kind of cool.
You mean she feels sorry for you because you can't afford to pay her properly?
Yeah. Pretty much. But I think it's cool releasing your album as a screen printed poster. That's kind of cool.
It's different, definitely.
Yeah.
We have, whenever you were talking about the album and you were saying releasing 10 songs and doing 10 videos, is there a theme to the videos, or is everything unique to the story of the song? Like, how did you decide what this video was about when you were recording?
Do you know what, the first one we did in Bangor, which I quite liked, it was just, this wasn't the first one that we released actually, but a lot, to be honest, we just wanted them to look aesthetically nice. We didn't have the budget to be able to do a big kind of story or anything like that. So a lot of, they were just kind of, a lot of them were performance videos. So we did actually one around the corner in black and white. The first one was I Bit the Bullet. The one where we had the biggest production on was a 2-day shoot in Bangor, and I just played piano along the coast, which was great because I was kind of looking out singing to my love, you know, and it's kind of what the song's about. And but mostly we just tried to pick a nice location that looked quite nice. And John's really good at like colouring his videos, so we did a couple in black and white, and even the coloured ones, like they look really, really cool.
Okay, so everything's going to be on Spotify and everything's on YouTube already.
Yeah, man, it's great.
So just Tour Alaska in the YouTube, and
I'm glad you said that, because when you said that, it sounds really cool, because like, it was released yesterday officially, and there's a video for every single song on YouTube.
That's brilliant.
I think that's great. I think that's good.
I think it's a different idea. I like it.
Cool.
It's always nice when people are doing something different, so that's okay. So if you do want to check out the stuff, just quite literally type in Tour Alaska.
Yep.
Ignore the Alaskan Tourist Board's
man,
video.
That's going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen.
Maybe put in Tour Alaska with like the name of the song.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. But yeah, it's just Tour Alaska on Spotify.
It is Tour Alaska, and I have actually a very nice website that I designed myself. It's touralaskamusic.com, and if you just go there, that's got everything. It's got all the videos, it's got all the links for all the social media stuff, it's got all the news. I've even got a plastic growth section in the top corner for like merch and stuff. But yeah, touralaskamusic.com, that's pretty much got everything.
That's brilliant. So if you want to check out the band, that is Jerry Norman at present, before it becomes a band.
Yeah.
With guests.
Yes.
I think I explained that without confusing myself. That was good.
I'm actually really excited because, I mean, I've finished writing this album like ages ago, you know what I mean? And I can't wait to get people into this room. Now I'm going to take a break from after the album launch from doing that too heavy. I've got another project I need to work on next year.
Is it called Paying Your Mortgage?
No, it's a musical project that's going to make me absolutely no money.
Sweet.
Which means that you love it. When you're a musician, it's like, if you're not having fun, you're getting paid well. If you're doing something you love doing, you're probably not getting paid very well.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And so I'm very excited about a project that I'm working on in 2020.
Okay, so there you go. Exclusive interview for the next thing after Tour Alaska.
Yeah, and then, so there won't be another Tour Alaska album next year, definitely not. But maybe the year after.
Sweet. So you already have sort of somewhat planned out something.
Yeah, well,
the whole point is here's the music and let's see what happens.
There's the music. I'm just going to let that sit and simmer for a while and hopefully grow, and then do the other project for the next while. And also, I want to do a lot of the recording myself, you see.
Oh.
So I'm studying music production and I'm doing a lot at the minute. So that's the dream. The next dream is to do the recordings myself.
Okay, well I'm trying to think of my press contacts that could help. So I'll try and get your view in the New Reporter.
Oh yes.
Okay. Maybe the New Democrat. I'm not sure if they're still my friend.
Do it.
And
let's do a gig in New York. Is there any nice kind of cool venues in your?
I can put you at my place.
Oh yeah, is it nice? Is it
yeah.
like
it's my it's my friend Leanne's cafe, but we turn it into a like a full venue. So we just strip all the tables out, we lay it out as seats, and then we actually have a spotlight, which is the lamp from my living room.
Oh man, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, and it's a bring your own.
What?
Yeah.
And can we just get the train then so we can have all the drinks and just get the train back?
Yeah, you can probably just sleep on the floor in my mom's house. It'll be fine.
Man, let's do that. Let's do that, and then we can get into all the newspapers.
Okay. Well, we'll get your launch gig out of the road, which is in the voodoo.
In the voodoo on the 11th of October. Yeah, I'm kind of concentrating on that for now. Once that's done, There's a couple of venues that are talking about putting me up as well, and it's great because. Exactly what you're talking about there. I'm kind of like, oh, let me kind of describe the room for me and the vibe. Yes, sounds perfect.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work in the wrong environment. Basically, it just does not work.
I don't know. I know what you mean. There used to be an amazing gig up in, I think it was Rough Island, and they used to play in an old church. And it was like a singer songwriters club.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
You've got places like the Dunkern in North Belfast, which is an old church as well.
Yes.
It's just that lovely big echoey music carries because they're acoustically for before microphones, so the priest could. Be heard all through the church.
Yeah, I'm just hoping for, because I have some, Jordan's unbelievable, a violin player, so I have the musicians to back me up. And I think in the right environment, people will really, really, really enjoy it. So hopefully I'll get the call over next year for a nice kind of interesting gigs. Because as much as I love rocking out and screaming into a mic, it is nice to just kind of chill out with your acoustic and sing some melancholic, as Stuart Bailey calls it, melancholic music.
And your piano.
I'm a piano because I like, piano. Yeah, I like chatting to an audience in that environment, in a seated, candlelit environment, and having a crack. I love that, and obviously, with a plastic rose, I like talking to a big crowd too. But it's different. You're kind of shouting at them.
Yeah, well, it's good if you're an artist or a musician to be able to. Do the things you want to do. You're not pigeonholed into your style of music.
Like, I'm being very... It's a really selfish thing that I'm doing. Like, I'm being... I just want it all. You know, but because I differentiate it so much from Plastic Rose, it's absolutely nothing like a Plastic Rose. I think I might get away with it. That's the whole plan. And because I have this avenue for the softer stuff, I said too much. It's
perfectly fine.
It means, you know, with a Plastic Rose, I can.
I'm personally looking forward to your side project where you start your death metal band in 2026.
I have a side project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about it? This, don't be giving away next year's thing, because we want to come back and do another one of these.
No, I mean, I've kind of ruined it because I've mentioned this band in one of my songs actually.
Oh, grand.
A song
okay.
called Glasgow, and I've mentioned it, and so I'm gonna. I'm in a band called No Donuts for Dogs.
Grand.
With my wife. Now, we don't have any songs, but we've been talking about this for years, and we're thinking of making some music. It's gonna be amazing.
No Donuts for Dogs.
No Donuts for Dogs.
Okay, whenever their Twitter account starts, will you link me and I'll tie it in with the podcast?
You've heard it here first. Unless we decide to go completely mysterious, then this never happened, but that's okay.
Grand. I think I can re-edit this whenever we...
Yeah.
The thing of it is, I try and make the podcast as natural as possible because, number one, I don't want to edit. Number two, I'm not totally sure how to. And number three, I couldn't be arsed. So it's better if it sounds more natural and we're just having a chat. You know what I mean?
Get one of those, get Logic or something. And...
I know what, that's... We're still starting out here. These are all testers.
See, I can do these things now. I'm
I'll send it to you.
I'm a producer now. Yeah, I can
I'll send it
things.
To you. You send it. Make us sound cool. And send it back to me.
Yeah, no, actually, do you know how that would work? This probably isn't interesting, but if you were to listen back and said, cut that out, and give it back to me, it'd take me 10 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad. I don't want to do that, though.
No, keep her lit.
It'll be fine, right?
We're really interesting people, like, people are going to want to hear everything.
Which is why I'm going to let you go, because you have a band practice now, don't you?
I do. I'm going to make a lot of noise in here tonight, not going to lie.
That's not too bad. So, Jerry, one more plug. Voodoo on the 11th for the live
11th of October. It's going to be the greatest night of the year.
Get your tickets now.
And you know what, I'm in a kind of dialogue with the promoter, Johnny McKee, Shizney Promotions.
Grand.
Who's an absolute legend.
around these parts. And we've sold a few tickets already. And I'm not just saying that, we have sold a few tickets already.
That's good.
And the gig isn't for another month. And nobody buys tickets to local gigs until the day before.
Which is they always really enjoy making the musicians sweat that no one's coming to the bloody thing.
Yes. So we're in the double figures, which is great. And I think I'm pretty sure we only have to do 100 and the place will be full. So it's very limited. Plus, I'll have a guest list because it's the album launch. So I'll have family there and stuff. I'll have like a 15 strong guest list, you can guarantee.
Grand.
So the tickets, you know, they will be limited. And it's cheaper if you buy them early. I know it's like £7 instead of £10 on the night.
Sweet. Always good to get that
so
pre-sale.
I would suggest doing that. But I think I'm not confident of a sellout. I'm never confident of a sellout. Why would that many people come to see me? But I am confident that there will be enough people there to have a great atmosphere, and that's pretty, pretty exciting.
Okay, so anything else you need to tell anybody about the band before we sign off, or just where to find it?
No.
I think we covered it in the podcast anyway.
Well, I was just thinking the website's pretty much the only thing. I'm probably forgetting loads of stuff, but yeah.
It's okay, you have a Facebook, you have a Twitter, you have the whole deal. There's nothing people can't Google these days.
Man, yeah, so the website's got all that stuff, yeah. Join me on the website.
Beautiful. Guys, if you want to check out Jerry's project, Tour Alaska, that is where to find it. We are going to leave it there, and I will maybe come back. Will we do a wee one after the gig? I think that could be a good one to check out how it went.
Bro,
we can talk some more about your tunes.
Well, I can do this whenever you want.
Yeah, pretty much, because you guarantee when you listen back to this, there's 15 things we forgot to talk about.
Yeah, probably.
So we'll do that.
Talk more about you next time and the mad times we had when we were younger.
It's not about me, but it is, because it's my podcast. Okay, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you like this, subscribe. Share it among your friends, because I get to talk to lovely people like Jerry here whenever I'm making these podcasts. So I have this one being released. I'm going to stick it out. And then I have another great one this week, which I will keep you all posted on. My wee socials are Matthews Darren if you're on the old Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook, and this can be found on Spotify as well. Say bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jerry.
See you guys. Thanks for listening. Good evening, everyone, or good morning, or good night, wherever it is you're listening to this. Welcome to episode 3 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. This week I chat with Jerry Norman about his brand new band, Tour Alaska. Check them out, find them on all your social medias, and hopefully you enjoy the podcast. See you soon.